From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
In recent years, poor science, relaxed government oversight and mismanagement by the salmon industry in Macquarie Harbour have contributed to a serious decline in the health of the water there. The initial forecasts for what the salmon industry could farm proved to be terribly wrong, terribly optimistic. In the past 2 years, the Environment Protection Authority have taken a greater control over what can be farmed in the harbour, and their limits have tightened in the hope that place will recover, that oxygen limits will increase. This morning, the head of the EPA has released a new biomass limit. It'll run for the next 2 years. And from our reading of the figures, it shows another 21% reduction in the number of fish that can be grown there to the end of this year and into the middle of 2020. Wes Ford is the director of the Environment Protection Authority. Wes Ford, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Will anyone in the fish farming industry be surprised at your new lower biomass limit? It looks like the draft that you'd flagged last time you spoke with us here.
I don't think any of the three companies will be surprised. I have communicated this to them over the last couple of months. As you say, it's consistent with the draft determination I gave them a month or so back now.
Can you guarantee that the harbour's going to recover?
I think no one can provide any guarantees, Leon. This is the challenge with managing fish farming. It's a risk-based activity based on the information we have. Clearly, I've had to step down the biomass over a number of years now because the harbour has not been performing as it should. What I expect from this new biomass decision is that the harbour will actually improve. But, of course, there can be no guarantees.
You say, in fact, in your report that you are concerned about a range of environmental issues in the harbour at the moment, including subsurface oxygen. Are you confident, given the concerns you have identified, that this new biomass limit will help those things improve?
Yes, I am, Leon. I am confident that the new biomass limit will actually allow the subsurface oxygen level to recharge and rebuild. We have seen over a number of years now that during winter, the seawater flows into Macquarie Harbour and reoxygenates the harbour. And we've had a very good year for reoxygenation. But we need to balance that against the oxygen consumption, and clearly salmon farming is one of the activities that consumes oxygen in the harbour.
So you've placed this out over 2 years. Was that expected by the industry, or were they thinking that you'd be working on a biomass limit for one? I suppose I'm asking, is this up for review? If things improve or decline over the summer ahead, will you lift the biomass limit up or down? Do you have any capacity for that?
I have set it for 2 years because that allows us to allows me to say to the companies, this is what you're going to be able to put to sea not only in 2018 but also in 2019. So it is not my intent to lift the biomass, but following next summer, if I see a continued decline, then it may have to step down.
We've seen in the past evidence of companies that have breached their environmental conditions in the harbour. Cases, for example, where everything under the pens was dead, no Begiatoa, not just immediately around the base of the pens, but in fact for what, hundreds of metres outside of them. How many of the fish farming operations, the three of them in Macquarie Harbour at the moment, are subject to environmental breaches?
At the moment, there are four leases with minor non-compliance of Begiatoa at the control points. This is the appearance of a minor amount of Begiatoa outside the lease area at 35 metres, but nowhere near to the extent of what it was in September 2016 when I took action to close the Tassow's Franklin lease.
And so in recent days, we've seen, since we spoke to you last, we've seen Petuna and Tassal come out and say they want to adopt a joint management approach. What's the significance of the decision to jointly approach fish farming in Macquarie Harbour?
This is very significant for both the management of the harbour, but also for the companies. Under a smaller biomass, what it gives them is effectively seven leases between the two of them, and the combined effort of those two companies controls 75% of the biomass. So they could then grow that 75% of the biomass across seven leases rather than individually. Now, that allows them to achieve basically two things. Firstly, year class separation. They can keep the 2018 year class fish on separate leases from the fish already in the harbour, and that's positive for the management of disease. And secondly, it allows them in a period to be able to fallow entire leases. So their proposed operating plan will effectively mean they'll use half their leases in any one growing cycle.
Was the government, when the government's talked about their salmon management plan for the industry as a whole, weren't they intending, in fact, that all three of the players in Macquarie Harbour would be part of a joint management plan?
That's my understanding, Leon.
Were you disappointed when Huon weren't involved in this?
Well, I think at the moment, because of the court case, because that still hasn't been resolved, I don't think the three companies have been able to come together to resolve a single management arrangement. But I understand that Minister Courtney, who's the minister responsible for the growth plan for the salmon industry, is still seeking to work with the companies to achieve, I suppose, a holistic management approach for all three companies.
So would you like to see them, in the best interests of the harbour, working on a joint management plan together, something not happening at the moment?
Yeah, certainly, Leon. But I do understand the circumstances that might be preventing the companies coming together at this point in time.
Because of the animosity between two of the players, in particular Huon and Tassal.
Oh, look, I think it's more dependent because of the court case. The court case does provide a level of uncertainty in terms of what that decision will be. And I don't think the companies feel they're able to preempt that decision by trying to resolve their issues. But that's really a matter for the companies.
Wes Ford's our guest this morning, the Director of the Environment Protection Authority. Wes Ford, we always talk about this in the context of salmon, and that's your primary area of concern. Salmon can swim up or down depending on, you know, where they find the oxygen in the water column. Some species like the Morgellon skate can't. Do you worry about what all of these really low or zero dissolved oxygen levels in the bottom of the water column in some cases actually means for the native species that are trying to live in the harbour?
So that is one of the challenges with Macquarie Harbour in terms of the impact of the skate. And it's one of the reasons why the state government is working with the Institute of Marine Antarctic Studies and the Fisheries Research Development Corporation to invest in research to understand and monitor the skate. At this stage, the advice we're receiving from researchers is that skate populations appear to be stable. But there's a longer-term question there about where the population of the skate's going to go, and that may have a future impact on the management of the harbour.
It may have what sort of an impact? That you may start making decisions based around that science and what you're seeing in terms of what can be farmed there commercially?
Well, I think if there was a clear evidence of an impact on a threatened species, then that would have to influence the management decisions for the harbour. But at the moment, we're not sure that evidence is actually there.
When will you know?
This research project that's underway at the moment, I think, still has another 3 years to go. But the important thing is we're still seeing stable populations in skate.
On Mornings Around Tasmania, the government and the fish farming industry looking at plans to industrialise Storm Bay, put in lots of fish farming. All three players want to expand there significantly. Given the mistakes in Macquarie Harbour, the idea that we'll farm it until we can see that it's hurting the environment and then pull back from there, what confidence can people have in any discussion that government and industry are holding between themselves about fish farming in that far more populated place?
So the current planning process, Leon, for Storm Bay that all three companies are involved in, for which hearings of the Marine Farm Planning Review Panel were held a couple of weeks ago, that process indicates very clearly in the planning documents for all three companies that there is an interim cap of 40,000 tonnes on Storm Bay until we have adequate science to understand the potential to go above that. And we're working with the companies, the Fisheries Research Development Corporation, CSIRO and IMAS again, to develop a biogeochemical model for Storm Bay to be able to give us information about what is the likelihood and prospect of Storm Bay to be able to grow more than 40,000 tonnes in sort of 4 to 10 years in the future.
So what confidence can people have that it won't simply be an approach of farm it till it hurts, and then wind things back from there? This is one of the busiest, the most used areas of water in Tasmania.
I think if you look at it in the context of the size of the water and the amount of fish being proposed to be farmed in this farming or this planning process, the area is larger than the Doncaster Channel and Huon River area, and the quantity of fish is not as great. So there's a level of conservatism in terms of Storm Bay itself. Hence, a cap at 40,000 tonnes is designed to ensure that we do have knowledge. So as the industry develops over the next 4, 5, 6 years, we'll be monitoring that extensively to determine what the impacts are actually occurring in terms of Storm Bay more broadly.
How's Okehampton Bay gone? in its first season of first summer season of operation?
Okehampton Bay seems to be performing very well from the point of view of a finfish farm. I note that they're starting to put further pens in at the moment. And remember, this lease was always planned to have 28 pens. And as the fish grow, they need to split the fish out into more pens. So over the course of the next few months, there'll be a few more pens going in there.
Withford, I had a tag of paper dropped off to me the other day. It came in an unmarked envelope, so it's unsourced information. But so I'll put it to you directly and say I have no source beyond the person that dropped it off. The total number of fish mortalities, Leon, in the report that's been handed to the EPA, the Chief Veterinary Officer in the Department of Marine Farming, chronicles how many fish have died in Macquarie Harbour for the 6 months from the start of October 2017 to the end of March 2018. The number is 1.35 million dead fish. Can you confirm that that's the number of fish that died in Macquarie Harbour?
That's the number the industry have provided to us through their area management agreement report, which is provided by the three companies working with a single consultant and sharing their individual information with that consultant. The consultant then compiles it but doesn't disclose back to the individual companies the other two's individual share.
So the figure is 1.35 million dead fish, and the other companies don't know how much of what the total figure is, but that's what you've been told is the total.
So the companies know, they have the report, so they know that that's the total. They just don't know what the individual breakup between the companies is. But that's what the companies have reported to us, yes.
That sounds like a big number. Are you troubled by the fact that 1.35 million fish died in Macquarie Harbour while being farmed in the summer 6 months of the year?
This was mainly due to an outbreak of pilchard orthomyxovirus, which hit the 2017 year class very heavily. It hit all three companies across the majority of leases. And so that is troubling from a point of view of the management of that disease. And that's an issue the companies need to continue to work through. You know, worldwide, these sorts of diseases are challenges for industry in terms of what a total percentage is. Yes, it is above what they would normally predict to have lost, you know, significantly above. And that's, the companies are working and investing in a vaccine. Now this disease is established. It's an endemic disease in Tasmania.
What's the risk that it'll spread to wild fish populations?
It actually came from wild fish populations, Leon. This disease is manifests itself in pilchards and has transferred to salmon. We don't yet have any evidence that it's transferred back to the wild population in any sense. Only certain species are susceptible. And in the case of Macquarie Harbour, salmon are susceptible, but trout are not. So the salmon have been hit, but the trout haven't been.
What specifically are you doing to try and reduce the level of fish deaths for season 2018-19 from this virus or from low oxygen levels, which is the other cause of a significant number of these fish deaths?
In relation to the disease, by providing year class separation to allow, because one of the reasons why the fish got the disease in the first place was mixing young fish with old fish. So by providing that year class separation, there's at least a kilometre's separation between the young fish and the fish already in the harbour. So that will go a significant way to reduce the impact of disease, is what the veterinary pathologists would advise. The second is just the lower biomass. The lower biomass will reduce the stress on the fish themselves. The fish can be a bit more spread out. The response to pilchard orthomyxovirus, it's a bit like the flu. If you're stressed and under a bit of tension, you might be more susceptible to the disease. So those two things will work together to hopefully reduce the disease incidence in the harbour.
Appreciate you coming in this morning. Thanks
Thank you,
for
Leo.
Talking with us. Just a final question, because there's lots of talk about the wood chip export facility down in Dover at the moment. Certainly when we did our pre-election broadcast, a lot of people were talking about it. It's many in the community like the idea, some don't. And there are questions about the biosecurity, particularly fish farming companies saying we don't want large ships pulling up next to us with ballast water issues and so on. Are you concerned that ballast water issues might cause biosecurity problems adjacent to fish farming industries if they come in there?
Look, in fairness to the process, Leon, it's not appropriate to comment at this stage because the EPA board, of which I'm a member, has to actually assess this project biosecurity will be one of the elements of the matters we take into account. So it would be inappropriate for me to provide any preempting comment. We haven't yet received the application from the Huon Valley Council, and understand that the Huon Valley Council have not yet accepted the application, not all the paperwork's together. The EPA board would, I suppose, expect to see it in the next month or so, and then we'll go through our assessment in accordance with the legislation.
Wes Ford, we always appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director of the Environment Protection Authority.